As I was preparing this message, I was also looking at the other lectionary passage, which is from 2 Kings, and I decided to also use that text this morning. It's 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl had said. And the king said, "Go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent you this servant Naaman, that you may cure him of leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he ripped his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life? This man sends word to me to cure him. Just look and see how he is trying to quarrel with me." But when the prophet Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had tore his clothes, he sent a message, "Why tear your clothes? Let him come to me. He may learn that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored. You shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away and said, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call the name of the Lord and wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? How I could not wash, couldn't I just wash there and be clean?" And he turned and he went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you have not done it? But now that he says, 'Wash and be clean,' wouldn't you do that?" So he went down and he immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. This too is the word of the Lord. Yesterday, I was talking to some of the workers of the rummage sale, and they said, they warned me because they showed up at dawn, and my wife and I showed up at dawn as well, and it was dark. And they said, we may not be all together there for your sermon. They might fall asleep. And I said, well, I may fall asleep too. So if I fall asleep up here, just wake me up. Let's pray. Oh God, make sense of these words that we can understand them, that they can be useful and helpful and applicable for our condition, situation. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Recently, I was reading about a story about a family whose mother got cancer. And the way they describe it is like going to a foreign country with no time to pack. Everything was frantic. Their work, their routines, their relationships, everything was affected and unsettled. And one religion professor, her name's Kara Suomala of Luther College, says, when things like this happen, people in these predicaments, they travel from the land of health to the land of serious illness. I can imagine those who are going through this, the whole can of emotions are opened up like Pandora's box, and the emotions become raw. After living in the land of health and then moving to the world of illness, the goal is to go the path of wellness. The road to wellness depends on how we deal with our emotions. So in the lectionary readings from the Old Testament, the Gospel are two different healing stories, and they show the range of emotions that people go through when they encounter the land of illness, these emotions that are common and universal. The first from the Old Testament, Naaman. Naaman, a mighty military commander, brilliant, brave and charismatic, a great warrior, a great commander of armies. Naaman, who is at the top of his career, riding high, enjoying all the attention and enjoying his position until something strange happens to him. He is afflicted. And when he is afflicted, he finds out that he's not so invincible, he's not so powerful, and he's having to cross into these territories, into these, especially these emotional territories. He finds out he has leprosy, and so this slow and debilitating and painful and isolating disease. Naaman, the powerful man, not even his wealth or his status or all his connections could help. So he journeys into the land of illness. As the military battles continue, as he continues to do his job, a young Israelite girl is captured and becomes a servant in their house. And the servant girl is aware of what is happening, and she tells Naaman's wife that if he goes to Israel, there's the prophets there and he can get help. He can be healed. So here is Naaman, this powerful man who accepts advice from this powerless woman or young girl. Naaman is still in charge, though. He is still taking control and assuming that he's in the driver's seat. And in spite of his command of people and situations, the first emotion that he must be feeling is that of desperation. Along with desperation, he's not quite panicked yet, but he's reaching that level. And Naaman decides to listen to her opinion and take her suggestion and accept that option and opportunity. Naaman shows a willingness, an openness, a humility, which is a different emotion, to accept this idea from the outside, from this foreigner. That is a beginning to the road to wellness, which is to be open, to listen to the options. Sometimes when affliction hits, the tendency is to shut down or to withdraw or to go into depression or hide. And when a person does this, the big emotion that comes out is shame. Naaman refuses to be paralyzed and victimized by shame. He decides it's okay to be vulnerable and exposed because he wants to find the way to wellness and wholeness. And that's the start. A willingness to cross over into that strange territory after going from health and the land of health to the land of illness. And then to walk the road and the path to wellness. So Naaman's king sends a letter explaining the situation to the king of Israel, and through that, the king refers him to Elisha. And then Elisha sends a messenger to Naaman. And the messenger says, go to the river of Jordan, wash 7 times, and your skin will be restored. And then we see Naaman's other emotions. What happens to Naaman is he drifts from the positive emotions to the negative ones. At first he is accepting and humble, but then he drifts over and he becomes angry, as verse 11 says, and he stalks away. Naaman says, well, I thought for sure he would come and meet me and wave his hand and call on the name of the Lord and heal me. Now, what emotions are he going through now? It's anger. Why does he get so angry? He wants a quick fix. He wants an instant healing. He wants very little effort on his part. He wants to experience convenience. After all, he's a celebrity. But anger, if we hold on to it too long, is like an acid. It can burn, it can corrode, it can eat you up. And then comes also pride, gets mixed in. I'm not a psychologist, but I've seen pride and the ego get out of control and irrational, and at times cause people to do crazy things. The pride spills over. This is Naaman's response. The rivers of Damascus are better than any of those waters in Israel. Why do I have to go to Israel? Why can't I just wash in my own river? So he turned around and he's in a rage at this point. The emotion he's also feeling is humiliation for having to be exposed into this strange land and not being able to get healed on my own turf or my own terms. I want this. I want that. And if he doesn't get what he wants, then the pride takes over. There's also this ritual of dipping 7 times. And this represents discipline, this ritual of healing, which requires discipline. Do I really have to dip 7 times? Why 7? Why not once? Wait, can't you just wave your hands? Can't you just put your hand over that area and then be gone? Why do I have to go through this humiliation? The pride of Naaman. He resents the rituals. He resents the requirements of discipline. Now, fortunately for him, he has other officers with him, and they calm him down. And they talk sense into him. The road to wellness includes a community of support. Friends and family and people who care, who give perspective when we get so caught up in the emotions. Our pride and anger, sometimes like a runaway horse or runaway train or a bucking bronco. Sometimes we get so bullheaded and we're convinced that our way is the right way, our way is the only way. And we become irrational, become irritable. God sends us friends and family who can be the voice of reason, calming influence, those who bring us back to center, those who are a solid rock for us. Finally, Naaman consents. Whereas before there's only a partial and superficial acceptance, after going through the anger and the pride and the humiliation, he now reaches full acceptance. He goes to the river. And his flesh is healed after dipping 7 times. As we are along the path of wellness, there has to be a certain point in time when we have to trust and have faith and to surrender, to say, I don't have control, or I can't fix it anymore. At some point, we have to say, I've done all I can do. I've searched all the options and resources. Now is the time to rest and trust in the Lord. Verse 15 says that then the party went back to Elisha and they said, at last, there's no other God in the world except the God of Israel. And Elisha says, go in peace. The whole journey, the whole trajectory of Naaman goes from humility and acceptance to anger and pride and humiliation, and then finally full acceptance. And at last, Elisha says to be at peace, go in peace. And that final destination, that emotion that we're looking for is peace. To accept whatever has happened, to accept the change, to be at peace. Let me jump over then to Luke. There are 10 lepers, and all of them have leprosy, and Jesus says, go to the temple and to the priest and show yourself to them, and they can verify that you are well. One of them returns. He's a Samaritan, and Jesus says, where are the other 9? Stand up and go. Your faith has made you, and his last word is well. We can get the right diet and medication, and we can feel like we are healed, but are we well? Jesus can make us well. Wellness involves the peace and humility and acceptance, but this Samaritan worshiped God and found joy, and wellness includes worship and finding joy in Christ Jesus and giving credit, giving honor and glory to God for God's mercy. The road to wellness depends, hinges on how we deal with our emotions, how we manage our emotions. Bob McCormick was sharing with me the Sedona method. And it says that people deal with their emotions two ways. They could either suppress it or they could express it. When you suppress it, it means you keep a lid on it. You push it down, you deny it, you pretend it's not there. By suppressing it, you're filing away the emotion somewhere in the back, subconsciously. Or try to escape from the emotions by saying, well, time will heal. Well, this method is saying that's debatable, because if you say that time will heal, you can say, well, give me enough time and I can suppress anything. We escape from our emotions through TV and movies and books and drinking and drugs and exercise and a lot of other activities that can distract us so we can push it down. Just when we think we're over it, another event or activity then adds another straw to the pile of emotions, and then before we know it, we explode or we get sick. It's because we've suppressed it. Now, the other side of the pendulum is expression. If we get angry, we yell. If we get sad, we cry. And we put that emotion into actions. We let off steam from that inner emotional pressure cooker, but we have not put out the fire. And the expression also has drawbacks and limitations. Sure, when we're in relationship with people, the psychologists say, yes, express your feelings, but sometimes we can express it inappropriately and cause greater disagreement, cause greater conflict, and the escalation of the emotion gets out of control, and sometimes we can wound other people when we express it too much. So the third option of this method is to release the emotion. I'll share with you some steps. First of all, focus on what that emotion is and allow yourself to feel it. Number two, step two, ask yourself, could I let this feeling go? Can I allow this feeling to be here? Can I welcome the feeling? So you ask those questions of yourself. And then go to step three, ask yourself this question, am I willing to let it go? Am I willing to give it to God? Would I rather have this feeling stay inside of me? Or would I want to be free of it? And if you still have the answer no, then ask yourself the question, well, when? If not right now, when? If you still feel that emotion is still there, go through the steps one more time. And according to this method, your emotion will slowly be released in degrees as you ask these questions. Am I willing to let it go? Am I willing to give it to God? And if not, when? And feel those feelings. The road to wellness is taking the right steps to handling our emotions. How do we handle our emotions? God can heal us physically, but are we well? We find wellness, we find peace through Christ Jesus, who leads us to acceptance and peace. Amen.